Good morning, church family. My name is Laura, and I am the support and recovery pastor here. So let me ask you something this morning. How many of you arrived here this morning already tired? Like really tired, even if you've had a full night's sleep? Because I've arrived at church, full disclosure, I've arrived at church and been already exhausted. And so I'm not talking about just the physical tiredness. I mean soul tired. The kind of exhaustion that goes beyond just your muscle and your bones. The kind of fatigue that lingers even after a vacation or a nap or some me time. I know I have personally felt this level of tired. Going to bed at a decent time and waking up feeling like a slug. And today, I want to talk to you all about something that we rarely prioritize, resilience and rest. This is our final message in our bouncing back, or as Andrew has called it now, bouncing forward sermon series. And I think this is a perfectly fitting conclusion, because if we want to bounce forward instead of bouncing back, we need to talk about the deep down strength we often feel ourselves having to muster, the kind of thing that God actually invites us to. So we live in a world that applauds exhaustion, where busyness seems to be a badge of honor, where hustle is glorified, where being so busy is often how we answer, "How are you today?" "Oh, I'm so busy." But the truth is, busyness doesn't make us holy. It actually just makes us worn out. Sometimes we call resilience pushing through, never stopping, juggling everything, and really it's just survival mode. And this is when we even get a full night's sleep and we wake up still feeling tired. But what if true resilience doesn't come from doing more, but from resting better? What if God's rhythm for resilience includes stopping, breathing, releasing control, and healing, not just about pushing and striving forward? Here is an example from my own life. So before I came to work here at Bethany Community Church, I worked with the unhoused during the opioid epidemic. My job was intense. I would leave for work at 7:30 a.m. and I would return around 5 p.m. And I was frequently on call throughout the evening. So anytime the police came to our building, anytime there was an overdose, I got the call and typically would have to go back to work. And I was deeply hurting. The people I worked with were deeply hurting. Many were very sick, struggling with deep addictions, trauma, despair, and simply were not getting better. This became, after a decade, soul-crushing work for me. At home, I had two babies and a husband who needed me. But I wasn't balancing any of it very well. I thought I was the role model for resilience. I pushed through, I kept busy, and I believed I was holding it all together. Well, I was fooling no one. I realized I couldn't do it anymore. I actually was part of a traumatic event that happened at our center, and through all of the past trauma of seeing such hurt and despair, I was diagnosed with PTSD. And that moment became a turning point in my life. I realized I couldn't live like this anymore. I needed balance. I needed therapy. And I needed something called Celebrate Recovery. But most of all, I needed Jesus to be at the center of my life once again, because I was too busy to put Jesus first. I cherish my family, but I didn't realize the toll that this was taking on them. Later, my daughters would share that they remembered how busy I was and how I was hardly ever home. They missed me, and I missed them too. Now, one of my greatest joys is something that we might take for granted, and it is just walking them to school. It seems like a small thing, but I do not take this as a luxury, and I no longer take it for granted. That walk is part of my rest. It is a sacred pause in my day, a reminder of God's grace and how far He has brought me and my family. It is a moment where I breathe, I pray, sometimes one of them holds my hand, we laugh, and I feel whole again. So resilience begins with realism, not denial. At CR, Celebrate Recovery, the first lesson we teach in September, night one, is denial. And here's the thing. Real resilience doesn't start with ignoring our pain. It starts with naming it. Jesus himself tells us plainly in John 16:33, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We will have trouble, not might, will. That means resiliency doesn't come from pretending we're okay. It comes from being honest about our brokenness and still moving forward, bouncing forward with God's help. If you are sitting here today and you are feeling overwhelmed, exhausted, maybe you are even on the edge of burnout, hear this. You are not disqualified from God's resilience. You are right where God wants to rebuild you. You are not too far gone. You are not too weak. In fact, Scripture tells us, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness," 2 Corinthians 12:9. So let's be really honest about our lives, our limits, and our need for God. This is where resilience starts. So the Sabbath gives us a blueprint for rest. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. And Genesis 2:2 says, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all the work." Now let's be clear. God wasn't tired. The creator of all the universe didn't need a nap. But he was setting and giving us a rhythm. Work, rest, repeat. The Sabbath is our basic creation, not a suggestion, but a gift that says, "You are not a machine. You are my beloved. Stop, breathe, and remember me." I sometimes wonder if the creator of all the universe made this part of his rhythm, why do I feel like I can skip it? In a world that says, go faster, do more, be busier, Sabbath says, slow down, breathe, take in the beauty around you. And in a culture where burnout is almost a badge of honor, rest feels like an act of resistance. Resistance against the pressures to move forward and to know your worth. Resistance against the voices that say your productivity equals your value. resistance against the enemy who wants to exhaust us into silence. Taking Sabbath is a way of saying, I trust God enough to stop. This is not weakness, my friends. This is worship. Here's how Brené Brown puts it. Rest and play are as vital as health and nutrition of exercise. In her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, she says, how can we embrace rest and play if we've tied our self-worth to what we produce? It takes courage to say yes to rest and play in a culture where exhaustion is seen as a status symbol. Let's clear something up. Rest is not just about sleep, although sleep, I think, is a holy thing, especially if you've had young children at home. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. I remember watching a YouTube video a long time ago where Pastor Craig Groeschel says that he finds rest jumping out of an airplane. So maybe this isn't for everyone. Jumping out of an airplane, it's certainly not for me. But rest goes deeper than just a good night's sleep. It is actually about restoration. It is about stopping long enough to notice what is going on inside of you and to talk to God about it. It is about creating space, a margin in your life, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you sat still long enough to hear your heartbeat? For me, peace often comes in the simplest of ways. A sunny day, actually stopping to smell the flowers this time of year just warms my soul. Feeling the sunshine on my skin. And the kind of pause reminds me of God's goodness. If I'm honest, maybe like many of you, I struggle to actually stop. When I was asked to share this message, I thought, you're asking me to share about resting and being quiet? I took it as a sign. These guys are part of my ministry over here. They're laughing at me. I lie awake at night, my mind is usually racing, classic Laura, I'm up in the middle of the night thinking about the things I've already forgotten about tomorrow. I worry about things that are out of my control, and I have a really hard time sitting still. My husband Mike and I have a jam-packed schedule. Our calendar is full. Most days we have several events. Between work, ministry, my two daughters, both in competitive sports, some days feel like a logistical jigsaw puzzle. Thankful for grandparents. But even in all the busyness, I've started to realize something. Rest doesn't look for me like sitting on a couch. For me, rest sometimes looks like sitting in an aquatic center, watching my youngest push through a really hard practice and be proud of herself. Or sitting on the sidelines where my oldest throws a rugby ball and is tackling another kid. Or sometimes it is when she is jumping a horse over an inanimate object. It might not look like rest to somebody else, but in those moments, my soul is still and I can give thanks. So I want to encourage you to rest long enough and sit quiet enough. But be honest with who you are and what brings that peace in your life. What restores you? What helps you reconnect with God, with yourself, and what brings you peace? For some, it might be journaling. For others, a hike in nature. Listening to the water, it might be music or art, or for others, it is prayer in stillness. Whatever it is for you, lean into that and fill your tank. Did you know that your mental health matters to God? Some of us grew up with the idea that a good Christian should always be joyful, always be positive, and say, when asked, how are you, we say, fine, thanks, even when we're not. That is not biblical. David, the man after God's own heart, wrote in Psalms 42:11, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? David didn't hide his pain, and neither did Jesus. In Matthew 26:38, Jesus says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. If Jesus, fully man and fully God, can be honest about his emotional pain, so can we. Mental health struggles are not a sign of weakness. I'm going to say it again. Mental health struggles are not a sign of weakness. They are an opportunity to have a deeper connection with God, deeper healing, and deeper trust. And rest is how God heals our mind. We need time to grieve. We need time to breathe, time to process, and time to receive love without earning it. So at this time, we are going to do a mental health breathing exercise because I'm going to gift you today the ability to hear your own heartbeat and to take a moment to sit quietly together. So we're going to play some soft music in the background, and I'm going to ask you to get comfortable in your seat. If you're joining us at home, you can even lay down. So take that posture and get comfortable in your seat. If you'd like, you can close your eyes if you're comfortable, or you can leave them open, however you find to be the most comfortable. Take a few breaths in. Focus on your breath. Pay attention to how your body feels. Start in your toes. Wiggle your toes. Feel peace up your legs. Calmness in your stomach. Breathe deep. Feeling the tension relieved from your neck and your shoulders and your arms. Go ahead and wiggle your fingers. Hold your breath. Breathe through your mouth, in through your nose. Deep breath in, counting to four. One, two, three, four, and out through your mouth. One, two, three, four. Feeling the air escape slowly. Breathing in, one, two, three, four, out, one, two, three, four. Get in touch with your senses. What can you taste, smell, touch, hear? Maybe you see Jesus when you close your eyes. Lean into him. Maybe you feel the most peace at the beach. Be there now. Breathing in. One, two, three, four. Out. One. Sit sitting in this for another moment. Allowing your abdomen, your stomach to fill like a balloon, and then letting it all go up in the sky. Can you hear your heartbeat? Feel the quiet. Feel the gift that this is. Releasing the tension. Now, if you haven't fallen asleep, you can open your eyes, adjust to the light, and start focusing again. This is an easy breath exercise that you can practice at home or at work or in the busyness. Just taking a moment to pause, get connected with your body and back with God. Some of us here are carrying emotional wounds. Some of us have emotional wounds that have never had time to breathe. Sabbath is the gift from the Creator when we can lean into that. And God builds us back stronger in rest than He does in rush. God does not want us rushing. One of my favorite verses is from Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Did you catch that? Those who wait. Not those who hustle and bustle through life. Renewed strength comes from holy stillness. We don't get stronger by burning the candle at both ends or by completely emptying our bucket or our tank. We get stronger by leaning into the presence of the one who made us. And here's the thing. God never rushes healing. He's never in a hurry for us to move on to the next thing. He is much more interested in forming our hearts than speeding up our schedules. So let me offer some practical ways on how you can practice Sabbath and rest. So the first is to honor a real Sabbath. One full day a week, turn off the noise, unplug the devices, rest and worship. Come to church and attend with your soul. Actually hear the message. Follow through with the challenge that Andrew gives you. The next is to prioritize your mental health. Go to therapy if that's something you do. Take medication if you are prescribed it. Journal, pray, breathe. Your mental wellness is sacred. Practice silence and solitude. Use the breath exercise that I just gave you. Even 10 minutes a day with no music, no noise, just God. Say no without guilt. Boundaries aren't selfish. They are sacred. Let go of performance. You are already loved, even when doing nothing. That is grace. And do not feel guilty for resting. I am guilty of this in my own life. I sit down and I think of the to-do list I have. The laundry doesn't bring me closer to God. But resting and praying and sitting silent does. unless the laundry is your happy place. So let me tell you something else that has been an absolute lifeline for me in finding rest. And it happens every Thursday at 6:30, right where you are sitting, and that is Celebrate Recovery. It's part of my ministry load here at Bethany, as I shared with you. I'm the pastor of support and recovery. CR is not just for those struggling with addictions, although those folks are also welcome. It is about anyone who is dealing with things like anxiety. If you ask yourself, if you are waking up in the night, making lists and worrying about things that are out of control, you are welcome here. If you find yourself with depression or trauma or burnout, and this message has left you questioning whether you're feeling exhausted and you are waking up in the morning already tired, you are welcome here on Thursday nights. If you are angry and you are walking around with a chip on your shoulder, if you strive for perfectionism in everything you do and you lose self-worth when it doesn't work out, come on in Thursday nights. People pleasing, if all of a sudden you're living your life for other people and somebody else's happiness is worth more than yours, you're welcome here. And exhaustion, emotional exhaustion, like I've meant previous, it's not just about being body tired. In other words, CR is for real people with real struggles. At Celebrate Recovery, we practice rest together every week. We worship, we confess, sometimes we cry, we share, we sit in silence, and we celebrate the tiniest of victories. It is a weekly reset for the soul, my soul, a built-in Sabbath of healing and honesty. People walk in feeling exhausted, and they walk out feeling seen, heard, and loved. If you needed that in your life, come on and join us. Maybe the most spiritual thing you can do this week is walking through that door on Thursday night and saying, I need help, I am tired, and I want rest. That is not weakness, that is wisdom. That's true resilience. If you're tired, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, let me speak this over you today. You are not failing. You are not lazy. You are not broken beyond repair. You are loved. You are invited. And you are seen every single day. And Jesus says this to us again today. Come to me, all who are worried, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take Jesus at his word. I'm going to close today and pray over you all, rest and relaxation. So let us close our eyes in prayer. Heavenly Father, you know how weary we are. Our lives are full and sometimes totally overwhelming. But you have given us this gift, Lord, this gift of rest, not as an obligation, but as healing. Help us slow down, Lord. Help us breathe deep. To remember, God, that we are not machines, but beloved children, your children. Help us lean into Sabbath, not just once a week or a one-time thing, but as a posture of life. Teach us how to rest like Jesus did. We thank you, Lord, for grace, for the rhythm of rest, for healing, and for hope. All this we pray in your name. Amen.